I'm riding along, singing the same old cowboy song.
Good morning, y'all.
That's been sung 100 times before.
I won't sing. I won't sing. I won't start your morning like that. It's the Valentine's Day edition of Rosie on the House, which just happens to coincide with Arizona Statehood Day, which also happens to coincide this year with a lot of things going on above our head in the sky above. So whenever we've got those kind of things going on, we always reach out to our good friend Dr. Sky. Let's bring Dr. Sky into the conversation. We never run out of stars to count. We never run out of galaxies to count. We've got meteors, asteroids. This Valentine's Day weekend, we've got a prenuptial eclipse. I mean, what else do we have to talk about? I mean, that covers the ground. Dr. Sky, good morning.
And good morning, Rosie, Romy, and Jennifer. Hey, how about that? In 7 minutes, the sun rises. How appropriate and a nice introduction. Thank you for having me back.
Well, tell me about this prenuptial eclipse.
Well, you know, most people missed it. Was doing some television and other, you know, radio around the country talking about this. We have what we called a penumbral eclipse, and it sounds rather strange. It's when the moon moves into the outer shadow of the Earth's shadow. And every planet or every object in space, Rosie, casts two distinct shadows. One's the dark umbra, and a lot of art students already know this when they're doing their shading and doing the art and painting and sketching. But every object in space has two shadows. The dark one is the umbral shadow, and then that absolute kind of a reverse hazy shadow is the penumbra. So what happened in the simplest way to explain it this morning is that the moon grazed just the edge of that outer shadow. So if indeed you got to see the moon when it was rising, it came up a little after 6:05 yesterday, last evening, you would have noticed a darkening to the top of the moon, which is kind of beautiful, almost like a charcoal shading. But from what I understand, Rosie, and lots of people reporting in, that it was pretty much a washout with the clouds until the moon got higher.
I see. Well, we've had what is a snow moon? I've never heard of a snow moon.
Well, this is another interesting, fascinating fact too, and subject. The Native American cultures here around the United States named moons in North America after various animals or events that took place. And you know, common sense for most of the country is that they're embellished in so much snow. But this second moon of the year is obviously appropriately named the snow moon because most of the heavy snow occurs for most of the United States and North America during February. So Indian tribes, Native American tribes, very cautiously named these particular moons. But for us here in the Valley of the Sun, it was more like almost like a pre-spring, wouldn't you say? Beautiful.
Well, it certainly looked like a snow moon. I mean, last couple nights, it's been right at full.
Yes.
I did not see it rise, but I saw it set both mornings. And boy, the moon set the last two mornings has been pretty nice.
Oh, it's absolutely beautiful. And when people got to see the moon, I'm sure everybody listening had at least a chance to look up. Yeah, you're right. It seemed like it had an even more incredible white color to it or reflectivity to it. Nothing that really changed. It's just that the perspective of the moon here with those clouds in the sky, and sometimes this is even another interesting factoid on this early Saturday morning, is sometimes you'll notice the high, thin clouds that move past the moon. If you look around the moon, you'll see what's called a 22-degree halo.
Yes.
Oh, that's fascinating. And what causes that simply is the ice crystals or water vapor in the atmosphere, mostly ice. They're little prisms, and they make a ring, like a beautiful concentric ring. Almost looks like a giant eyeball in the sky, and we seem to get that, you know, during the late winter and early spring. And for many people, if you've seen it, it's just outstanding.
Well, and we have a super bright Venus going on right now. What's all that about? I did see it last night. My back patio views out to the west, so as I'm sitting there in the kitchen, you know, I'm not watching the moon come up. I'm watching Venus, and then I'm watching the moon set in the mornings. But what's going on there?
Well, this is amazing. This is probably the biggest question that I get when people email me at drsky@cox.net. What the heck, Dr. Sky, is that bright thing in the southwest? And if you don't know, that's why you're checking in, and of course we want to give you the answer. So you're seeing Venus this week at its brightest, and the fact of what's going on here is kind of interesting. Venus, of all the planets, it can get closer to the Earth than any other planet. I mean, the moon obviously gets closer. But of all the major planets, Venus, at this particular time, which will come up during this beautiful week for Valentine's Day, as you talked about the Valentine's Day show here on Rosie on the House, what better way to celebrate than the goddess of love and beauty herself? Her symbol, you know, for those that study astronomy and astrology, is the hand mirror. Here's this narcissistic woman who just loves herself so much, but she shines so bright because Venus, Rosie, has so many clouds. That is, of course, the whole planet is just covered in these clouds, and the sun, literally, when the light shines off of those clouds, that's the reason it's so bright. But because it's getting closer, and because of those high reflectivity clouds, this week would basically make Venus the brightest. And if, for people who live in the snowy parts of the country, this is something that can happen. If you were in a snowfield, and you were to turn, have your back to Venus, particularly this week, under the darkest of conditions, if you didn't have streetlights, you could see your shadow.
Wow. Which
is incredible.
From Venus.
Isn't that amazing? And that's an object that will get about 25 or 26 million miles close to the Earth. But it gets cooler and really neat. If you have a pair of binoculars, probably more like a telescope, Venus looks like a fat crescent moon right now, which is amazing. And only those planets that are closer into the sun, you know, than the Earth, both Mercury and Venus, can exhibit these phases. So in the most romantic way, Rosie, you're looking at the beauty of Venus high in the southwest. Don't miss it. And just a little bit to the upper left is just the opposite. The planet Mars, the male symbol in the sky. So you have the female and male object, the two planets, grazing each other in the sky. How beautiful for Valentine's week, huh?
And how far is Venus from us now?
Probably in the area, and I don't have the exact number, but it's probably within the high 40s, in the 40-some million miles. But it'll close in toward the end of the month. And what's going to happen to Venus, if you watch it, that's very interesting that you're asking distance. If you watch Venus now to the end of February, you'll start to notice it'll get closer in, or lower into the sky, closer to the sun, and then it moves into what we call inferior conjunction. So be careful. Don't stare into the sun when Venus is that low, but it'll get really fat, like a very, very thin, thin crescent moon, and then it'll come to about its 26 million mark. So about now in the high 40s, in the millions of miles. So that's close for a planet.
Speaking of staring into the sky, am I right? We have a full eclipse this year, don't we?
You know, Rosie, the best object or event. Now, folks, I'm so grateful that you're here listening to this morning, because hopefully we can talk about this in future editions if you so desire. But mark this date down. Monday, August the 21st, Rosie, is the big event, probably the biggest astronomy event that's happened in decades. We haven't had a total solar eclipse in the United States since 1979. But on Monday, August the 21st, more people in the United States, it's called the Great American Total Solar Eclipse, will get to see this. But you have to be within that thin band. And if you just Google on there, you know, the total eclipse of August 21st, 2017, you'll see what I'm talking about. It starts off in the morning up in Oregon, moves across, it's about 100 or so mile wide path that you have to be in to see it. Now, here in Phoenix, we'll get to see a deep, dangerous, when I say dangerous, solar eclipse. You don't want people staring at that, because the sun will still be shining bright, and that's not going to be total. But, Rosie, I've seen five of these. I've traveled all over the country and other parts of the world. And this is probably the closest and best opportunity, because it'll cross the United States during the middle of the day, and already there are so many places that are just sold out in capital letters, like a neon flashing sign. You know, the inn is not open. You'd probably have to figure out to stay with friends and relatives that are in that area, or RV it, or do whatever you need to do to get there. But this is the big one.
And that band of visibility to see the absolute total nature of the Great American Eclipse on August 21st, like, does it stay across the northern part of the country the whole way? Is it Portland and
No, it's actually pretty fair. It actually starts up in Oregon and then it moves across over by Idaho. And we'll hopefully talk about, you know, I'd like to get up to that area. And so many people were talking about doing an RV event. you know, with our Dr. Sky friends, which we can hopefully, ooh, you know, shore up as we go through the year. But, you know, to answer your question, it starts up in Oregon. It goes across Idaho. It goes right across in, into downtown Casper, Wyoming. If you're close to Denver, that's an easy job to get up there. Then it crosses the Great Plains into Nebraska, and it goes all the way almost downtown St. Louis, Missouri. Even if you're in St. Louis, you still wouldn't see it exact. You'd probably have to travel another 20 or 30 miles north of there. Then it goes way into the deep south. I mean, all the way across the Appalachians. It's, I believe it comes downtown Nashville, Tennessee. It's a, they'll just have to step outside. And then it ends, how about this, right along the coast in Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay.
And then the fish in the ocean get to see the rest of it before it touches the tip of Africa. So don't miss this one, Rosie. This is the big event, the big one.
Very dangerous to watch.
Unless you, well, you have to be careful. Even when you're in the total, in the totality path, you have to protect your eyes. But the sacred part is that 2.5 minutes of darkness. And, Rosie, that is... I can't even describe it on radio. It's like an out-of-body experience because you see the moon cover up the sun exactly, and you see in the middle of the day the temperature will drop about maybe 15 or 20 degrees sometimes. Animals will seek shelter because they think it's night. The insects start to go back in the ground, and you see this weird, strange phenomenon coming at you. You can actually see the shadow racing at you at over 1,000 miles an hour. You see something on the ground that looks like kind of the wavy lines. They're called shadow bands. And that's it's amazing. It's
This will be cool. August 21st, the Great American Full Eclipse. We're going to talk more with Dr. Sky when we get back. I want to hear the update for the Moon Express. Y'all stay tuned. More with Dr. Sky right here at Rosie on the House.